Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Welcome back, Posh fans. Peterborough United lost 3-0 at home to Mansfield Town on Boxing Day. Merry Christmas all. Let's dissect it together. Tonight I'm joined by Ash, Dell, Lods, Charlie and me, Harry. I'm going to send it straight to Charlie. And Charlie, I'm sending it to you because in the last episode, you said we were two players from being a playoff team. How did you think we did today? Do you still stand by what you said in the last episode?
Oh, I mean, I am. You know what? You just hope at some point that the Posh Squad's going to do you a favour and not make you look like a mug on the podcast. But they've properly stitched me up today with putting in, which was without doubt the worst performance of the season. I mean, it was absolutely awful. It wasn't even men versus boys. It was like men versus blind babies. It was ridiculous. We played atrociously. From minute one, we got absolutely bullied. And we thoroughly deserved to lose by more than three goals, to be honest. 3-0, we got off quite lucky because they were absolutely all over us. I couldn't find a single positive about the game, really, other than the fact that it ended. It was an all-round atrocious day.
Do you know what my issue is at the moment is that it really feels like we're going backwards and that we are seeing absolutely no progress in this team at all. We talk about development all the time and that, you know, we're going to hope that at some point we're going to kick on and we're going to become this fantastic team and the defence is going to sort itself out. But every single game that we play at the moment, it just looks like we're going backwards. And yes, that's because we're making changes more often than the weather changes in this country. But I just can't see how we have players that have played and developed themselves in these positions that look like they've never done it before. It is so, so frustrating. And I said a couple of weeks back that I'm trying to be negative, but or not to be negative even, forcing it on myself. But I can't see how you can be positive after a performance like that. It's just so, so difficult at the moment. Really, really disappointing.
I have to agree with that. I think I'm now past the expectations of actually performing well. And you look at the players today, and we've been saying it for a few weeks now, is there a lack of confidence. They, you know, every time they go to control the ball, they're fucking hell, it's coming off their heads or their feet like a 50 pence piece. It's just not clicking. You know, none of the players at the moment are actually filling me with confidence when they get the ball. And that goes by even your De Havilland, who I've been rating all season, your Archie Collins was off it today. Just, I don't know, it's quite, you say frustrating. I'm not sure frustrating is the right word. It's disappointing to see, and it's actually upsetting to watch in a way, because we're not, the players are not that shit. They're really not that shit. They're just, it's just not working at the moment. And unfortunately, you go through times where it's just not happening. When it's not your day, it ain't your day. And at the moment, it's not been our month. It ain't been our season. I don't even know what we can do to change. The players, are the players to blame? Yes, they are. Do they know what they should be doing? I think they do. It's just not happening. And it's just one of them things. I don't know. I don't even know how to put a positive spin on it. But I think at the moment, we need to accept that we are shit. We need to accept that we are more in a relegation battle than we are in a promotion battle. People can agree or disagree with me and say, let's be positive, let's, you know. The facts are, what was it? We're 4 or 5 points off relegation with another team with a game in hand or something. I could be wrong. we're closer to relegation battle than we are closer to the promotion. So we've not managed to beat a team in the top 12 or something. I think somebody told me or I read. We just need to knuckle down rather than booing and jeering in sarcastic fucking songs during the game, which, don't get me wrong, sometimes they are deserved, but let's do it after the game. You know, let's you know, support our team. Let's encourage them during the game. And at the end of the game, if they are still shit, fucking boo them as much as you want. I don't give a shit. But I think we just need to, they know they're not, that's just my opinion. They know they're not performing well. They know they're making mistakes left, right and centre. It doesn't need us to sort of let them know that we're fucking shit.
I didn't boo at half time, but that's definitely one of the, I'll be honest, one of the more times I've been more sympathetic to half time boos than I've ever been for a game. And I think we came out better in the second half, maybe a little bit for it, because I think to a certain extent the players needed to hear it. I think that one of the problems, if we go with the view that the players are up to it and it's just things aren't clicking at the minute, I think one area that's not clicking in is the early progression. We're still wanting to try and play it out of our own back third and then create space from there, whether that's on the wings or over the top to Ricky. And that is clearly, especially in the first half, where it is not working. All well and good, passing it around the back, left and right. You know, no point did a player lose possession to a Mansfield player rushing at them. I think Katongo knows what he's doing on that front. And to be fair, both Donnelly and Mills, to less so Donnelly, but both of them to a certain extent, know whether to push it down the wing or cut it back in to centre-back or even to the goalie. But how are you going to get it to your midfield? To be honest, today, I think that de Havilland and Collins weren't making themselves as available as they normally do to come and be there for one of the centre-backs to pass it forward. So it always went sideways or back to Billow or down the channel. We didn't manage to successfully pull off a pass that I can remember through the centre of the pitch until the beginning of the second half when Kyprianou passed one through all the way, I want to say, to Hayes in like the, I don't know, the 53rd minute or something. So that, for me, we've got to get better at that early progression. That's a key point away from the defensive issues, if we're going to talk just on the offensive side of things.
Yeah, I had the same thought with the playing out from the back and the midfielders not showing as much whilst I was watching the game. But on reflection, I think I want to compliment Mansfield a bit because they did an absolute number on us. And it feels like where we've put in some really rubbish performances, it is where the other team have just completely nullified our threats. I stupidly predicted a 0-0 in the last episode. I thought Mansfield would sit back a bit more, but they just did not see us as a threat at all. They just went at us, and we were the ones that were pinned and sitting back. The times where we did look like we were trying to attack, we did play it back, and then they just were straight out to us and pinned us back in again. And I think the issue is we have this plan A, which is to play this nice football, try and play from the back, and it is great when it works. But I think a lot of teams have worked out how to play against us now. So where we could criticise Collins and de Havilland not showing for the ball, I think it's more Mansfield was so fast to get on them because they knew that that's how we play, that maybe our plan B is to just pump it long to Ricky, and they've done a number on him as well. And we don't have any other sort of way of playing because all of our players are similar. Where we had like Jono last season, for example, and I know we sometimes put Manny up front as that extra aerial threat, but we don't have anything else to bring off the bench that's going to play any differently. I mean, it was quite evident. I think Mothersill should have been hooked at half time, but it was quite evident that we needed him on because Ricky was so ineffective. We had nothing else to put up front apart from Mothersill. Ideally, we would have had someone like Jono off the bench to swap with Ricky and hook them both off.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the key themes of this season is quickly becoming, when we're at home, the way we start games and first halves. You think about how many terrible first halves we've had at home this season, you know. Huddersfield, we conceded both the goals in the first half. Same with Wrexham, Reading, 3-1 down at half-time to Rotherham. We have been like in the first half at home, so poor. And I don't get it. I don't get where it comes from. I don't know whether it's a mental thing, but just when we're playing at London Road, we come out and just instantly look scared and under pressure and all sorts of just shambolic. I don't know whether it's coming from the tactics they don't feel comfortable, or whether it's, you know, not a surface that they like, or I'm not sure, but we looked so uncomfortable, especially in the first sort of 20 minutes today. And I think that is, with what Harry was saying, was probably my biggest concern today, is that I thought this was probably going to be, in terms of the way we've played out from the back, the best we've looked this season, because we had Nevitt and Katongo, and they're probably our two best ball-playing centre-backs in terms of the ability to find passes. And even they just couldn't get it away. Every single time we tried to play out, it got intercepted or we got pressed. We never looked like we were going to break free from the press. And when we did, the attackers just didn't do anything with it, but they didn't really have many chances to. It was just a horrendously tough watch again at home. And it's like, I'm getting incredibly bored of home games. I genuinely could have left at halftime very happily today.
I think you're right, Charlie. I think that the players are probably petrified at playing at London Road at the moment. They know that the atmosphere isn't going to be fantastic, and there's lots of pressure on them. We have this entitlement as Posh fans that we think that we're going to win every week or win every game or the majority of games that we go into, and ultimately these players aren't up to that standard, and that performance level, which is just really disappointing, but more so for themselves than us as fans. Like, we obviously go, we pay our money, we try to enjoy it, but for themselves, like Fergie said today, is that they're just not doing the things that are asked of them, and they look sometimes like little lost children. You think about, obviously, the goals that we've conceded today. Why is it that professional footballers are having to look over to the bench every single week, every single game, every single time that the ball goes out for a corner or a set piece, having to look over to the bench to look at the goalkeeping coach or Dale Tong to find out what they're doing? Like, it's a very simple task to defend a set piece or a corner. Pick up a man. You know which man you've picked up from probably the pre-match when you've discussed it and they organise all of that sort of stuff. Pick up that man or pick up that space, depending on what sort of defensive line we're taking, and defend yourselves. We're just not doing it. It's basics, and I would expect professional footballers to be able to defend corners better than we have at the moment. We think of some of the things that we've seen and heard, like we've got Manny, we've got Walling, we've got Nevitt, and we still can't defend corners. It's really, really pathetic to watch at the moment that we've got ultimately professional footballers that really just don't know what they're doing when it comes to set pieces.
I noticed, Ash, that, and you may have seen, I was in the London Road end, I know you were in the North Stand, I don't know if you saw from where you were, the fact that Mansfield, before the first corner, made sure that all four of the main moving players were bunched up and then ran all in different directions to basically test whether they were being man-marked or zonal-marked. And when it was obvious they were being zonal-marked, two of them then ran straight at Katongo, and that's what caused the overload for him. I don't know who was meant to be the man on the player that headed it in. But for whatever reason, Katongo finds himself with both the man that he was marking, which actually marked well, but behind him is the guy who headed the ball in, who was, what's his name? I forget his name. But I think that was part of the problem, is that how can a coach on the side of the pitch give you instructions for when that sort of stunt is there? And on the, you know, on the second one, I mean, Nevitt just loses his man. I mean, no amount of pointing to the bench is going to help you solve the issue of just being able to stick with your man, right?
No, and I do agree. I completely agree with that. And when we think about set pieces, like, obviously they are a key area of the game. And when we look at like Arsenal, Spurs, Man United have conceded from another corner direct again today, it really is something that teams are drilling into their players, which then makes you question and ask, like, what are we doing during the week? Like, why are the players being afforded this time? And we've seen it multiple times now in these day of the lives, that they're kicking a ball about and doing no bounce in the changing room. Why are they not in essentially the version of a classroom watching the team that they're playing next set pieces? Like, they should be learning, they should be wanting to develop. And And the defence, it's way past being a concern now. It's a real, real issue, because I don't walk into any game feeling that we're going to keep a clean sheet, which ultimately means that we are not going to win games of football if we can't keep clean sheets, because the attack, as good as they are, which they haven't been in the last sort of two games, they're going to keep conceding goals and having to sort of bury themselves or dig themselves out of this hole that they've got themselves into. When we think about goals that we've conceded from set pieces, I think we're up to like 12 now, like joint highest in the league. Like, where are these tall players? Where are these big defenders? Even when you add in Kyprianou to the fold, we're not a short team. Like, we're saying that we were better last season with Ronnie Edwards, Harrison Burrows, Katongo at right back, better at defending set pieces than we are with basically 6'4", 6'5", 6'6" footballers on the pitch. I just can't understand why they think looking over and to the bench to sort of go, oh, what am I meant to do? Just fucking head the ball away. It's not difficult. I reckon I could probably do a better job than some of these lot at the moment. And I'm basically just a brick wall. Like, that's all it is. Just do your job now. Like, that's what we need to do. It's so frustrating, and I just can't see why they can't learn during the week and get better at what they need to do.
It's not only set pieces, though, Ash, to be fair. It's, you know, so many times you're seeing the ball coming over from in play, and they're letting the ball bounce. Everybody is taught from a young age, do not let the ball bounce. Even if you knock it out of play, even if whatever, don't ever let the ball bounce, because it seems that the majority of the time we're letting the ball bounce, they're getting, the opponents are getting control of it, and then we're like, oh shit, what? How did he get that? You know, and it's really, really frustrating. That is a frustrating side of it, because you shouldn't have to be teaching these professional players, don't let the ball bounce. The other sort of thing that I'm seeing quite a lot of is, you know, the reading of the play up front. When we're putting the ball through, which does happen, we're off the pace. You know, a couple of times when the ball's gone, like today, the ball's gone down, Malik's running through, and I think might be Odo was in the middle. It's just like jogging towards the penalty spot. You should be busted a fucking bollocks. You know what's going to be happening. Malik's going to get down, you know, early cross in, you're there. But the early cross comes in and there's nobody on the end of it, which is, they're basics. They're not things you fucking should be teaching in, like, you know, training session. Training session should be like the detail of the game, the detail of the opponents. I can handle us not doing those, but it's the basics that I do have the big issue with. Is we all know how to play football. Some of us are shit at it, but, you know, in our minds, we know where you should be. So if the fans can see it, you know, why can't the players see the basics? That is my frustration. Just, I'm going right off on a tangent here. What I was a little bit disappointed with as well today is in the first half, obviously we was 3-0 down, Ricky went down injured. So a couple of players went over to the bench. As they've gone over to the bench, you know, what normally happens, they go over, they go see the gaffer to get some old instructions what to do. Fergie fucked off. So the, you know, Fergie and Tongue sort of moved away from the touchline, and so the players were just having a drink. You know, ideal time to say, right, do this, do that, get in your position, do this, whatever they wanted to do, some instructions. But even Fergie seemed to, like, I don't know, it looked like he washed his hands of the situation. And it wasn't until, like, the game was about to restart, he then come out and sort of said something or other. So, I don't know. You know, I might be reading into it a little bit too much, but clearly he was fucked off as well with some of the issues.
It's interesting that you say about the ball bouncing in our own area, Dale, because that's one of my biggest bugbears, is seeing how many times we just allow it to bounce because of our poor positioning, or we just think there's no threat there. And I know John tweeted it. There's a perfect example of the second goal we conceded, where the ball came in and it was an absolute nothing cross and Nevitt should have cleared it. But he's made a mistake, which is just an error. We do see it from time to time. And because we just assume that Nevitt's going to clear it, everyone's just switched off. Mills was in a really good position marking the man that scored. For whatever reason, he's let him get around him. And Bilo as well, you see him, he just turns into a statue. I think they all just assume that Nevitt's going to clear it. And it's that threat that they can't see. When the ball comes in our area, no matter if we've got it or not, we should just be getting rid of it. We shouldn't want the ball in our area. And I think this playing out from the back got so extreme that we sort of feel, well, trying to trick ourselves into feeling comfortable with the ball in our area. But at the end of the day, especially the patch we're going through, if the ball's in our area, we've got a high chance of conceding. I mean, you saw the one we conceded a couple of weeks ago when Dornelli took a swipe at it and missed the ball. We had the ball at that point, but because he's done that, he's lost the ball and we've immediately conceded. We just need to get out of our heads that it's fine to have the ball in our area. We just, the ball's there in front of our own goal. We need to get rid. That's how I think we should be looking at it.
No, I completely agree. And it does really feel like we are at a point where it needs to be back to basics now, that if you've got the ball, that it goes 40, 50 yards up the pitch. And I guess the only issue with that is that we don't really have anybody that can get stuck in and be physical. Ricky tries it, but ultimately he's not that big, like Jono style ball holder that you're going to have. Malik isn't the greatest. Malik's touch hasn't been fantastic over the last sort of two games, that's for sure. And when you think about the bouncing balls, you can go all the way back to Northampton as well. Northampton, Crawley, and now today against Mansfield. Three bouncing balls. It's time to get back to the basics. That's it, really.
Cheers, Ash. I mean, I've not got as much to comment on bouncing balls as other people do here, but I think my favourite point from that little section was the one that Dell made. And because I've been thinking about Fergie and I really hadn't figured out how in my head to like phrase what I thought about him. But the fact that he sort of wiped his hands clean of the situation is a really good point. That interview today was a very weird one where he said he used the words like defend and not our defence, but his inability to defend the performance today. And he kept saying, you know, oh, I don't like outing players in public, but the players, or you know, I'm not, it wasn't about a system or tactics, I think is what he said in the Cam's interview. Seems like he's given up a little bit. Not obviously he wants us to win games and he is still around as far as we're concerned, but I'm getting just, it feels like he's just accepted the situation as much as most Posh fans have, which is, you know, disappointing for me to hear, because I think that we actually do have a decent team, and it just feels like he's given up, and it feels like he's really disappointed in especially his players from, I think the new players are getting a bit of leeway, but the players from last season that haven't carried on where they left off at the end of last season into this season, it feels like he is proper fed up with them. But I don't know if you guys, any of you guys listened to his interview, but it was a proper weird one for me.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite things to do post-matches, listen to the Fergie interviews. And I think you could probably read too much into it sometimes, but it definitely felt like he was frustrated with perhaps certain individuals not getting stuck in today. It was definitely a physical battle and we lost pretty much every 50-50. I think perhaps Archie Collins got stuck in. I don't think any of the others can say that they got stuck in at all. It felt like in today's interview that he was digging out particular individuals. He didn't name them, but the fact that Randall got hooked off at halftime and given the comments that are normally made about him not getting stuck in, it wouldn't surprise me if he's not playing against Barnsley. And it actually wouldn't surprise me if he's on the transfer list in January. I think you're right, Charlie. I think he has given up with some of the squad. Fergie's the sort of manager that's not going to stick around unless promotion is possible. He's not going to settle for mid-table team. So if he goes to Dara and says, I want these five players gone and I want to replace them with these five players, Dara's got to do his best to do what Fergie wants, or just accept that Fergie's going to leave. And right now, I don't know what would be better for us, whether we are patient with the team that we've got now and just understand that it's a long-term project that we might not see the benefits of until next season or maybe even the season after. Or do we bin them off, dash their confidence and just properly go for it this season? But going back to last week's conversation, I think we're probably a little bit too far away from the playoffs to achieve it this season. And if that's the case, maybe Fergie just doesn't see out the end of the season.
Do you know what? I think you're slightly wrong on Fergie there. And I think that he is up for the challenge. And I think that he is sort of happy to develop these players. I think that the issue is that there is still this external noise coming from people that aren't involved in the day-to-day with the players. Like, we think about like the stuff that the club put out, the media team, they put out Barry Fry doing and I hope it's a promotion second half of the season. Like, when are we going to cut the shit? Like, we're not getting promoted this season. And that's the frustration. I think that Fergie accepts that, which is fine. And he understands that this is the development season that last season was meant to be. And then, like, Charlie, I know that obviously Ian Crawford replied to you as well, didn't he, saying we still believe. Like, at some point, somebody somewhere in the club needs to be real and just come out and say, look, we are not getting promoted this season, because at the moment it just looks very, very embarrassing. There will be no second half run. There will be no, oh yeah, we're gonna string together like 15 wins on the bounce and creep into the playoffs and get sixth place. These players aren't good enough for that. That's what we've got. Our best player is out injured until the middle of February. We've got players that don't want to be here. I'm so certain of it. And our defence are still learning how to play football, it seems like. We've got this new signing that's come from the same league as a centre-back that is ultimately rubbish at the moment and still developing. So how are we going to prove that Gustav Lindgren is going to be a fantastic striker? I just can't see it happening. Yes, he may offer something different to what Ricky and Malik offer, but How do you know that you're going to get that? He's not going to sign away at Wrexham, is he, and come on the pitch and then bag three goals against them? It's just not going to happen. When I think about all of the games that we've got coming up, I don't know when we're going to win next. And I think that Fergie is on board with that and is not going to accept losing, because he knows what he wants. He knows what the fans expect. But I think that he knows that this season is done before we've even made it to 2025. And I think that the sooner that the people above him come out and say, look, this season is done, it's a write-off, the better that is for Fergie, because the pressure's on Fergie at the moment. And I know that there were some tweets that went out like, oh, this is all on DMAC, this is all on these people and whatnot, and Fergie's interview was a direct attack at DMAC. I don't think that they've got this relationship that Fergie needs to do an interview to start slagging off DMAC. If he wanted to, he'd go up to his office or he'd ring him and he'd tell him, right, these lot are a bunch of shite. We need to get rid of five of them. We need to bring five in more. Maybe 15 years ago, when he first walked out, he may have taken those swipes in interviews, but I don't think that he's taking those swipes now. So people that are trying to just stir this pot up of Fergie and DMAC not liking each other and attacking each other are just chatting shit again and again.
Yeah, I actually hadn't seen that. There's some kind. I hadn't seen anything about there being animosity between Fergie and Dara. I think I don't think there is. I think that there's just in terms of what some of you guys have said already. I think Lod added an important nuance. I don't think Fergie's given up. Maybe he's given up on a couple of players, but I don't think he's given up on Posh or on his position here. That's not the sense I got from his interview at all. But I also don't think that Fergie is going to think that he's able to just call up Dara and go, I want five players. You have to get rid of these five. And if you don't do that, I'm going to walk, which I think was almost a direct quote from one of you. Is anything close to their kind of relationship? It's clearly not how the two of them operate. It is clearly collaborative, collegiate. Got to remember which one of the two has the money. Even if one of them is the one who gets the promotions more directly, it doesn't matter. They work in unison with each other. There's no, I'd be amazed if there's any kind of ultimatums at this stage of their, whatever it is, 17-year relationship together. What I think is more realistic is for Fergie to say, there's a couple in this dressing room who I think there'll be an outsized effect of them not being around the first team, whether that's in under-21s or out the club. It will have more than a, you know, just a, getting rid of a bit of the rot will have a huge positive effect everywhere else, because they're not keeping up to the standards, or they're not the right character, or they're preventing other players who need to develop getting on the pitch. I don't even know. It's impossible to know exactly what he was referring to, because he was I think, very measured, given how clearly irate he was. I liked the fact that he specifically mentioned that there's young players here who he wasn't digging out, like Mills and Dornelli. I think us on this pod have said that Dornelli probably doesn't look up to it yet. And I'm inclined to agree that Dornelli probably needs a bit more time before he's regularly starting League One games. I think Mills has looked all right without being sparkling yet. But to me, Mills looks similar to how Burrows or Ronnie started when they were here. There's no guarantee he'll go on to their kind of levels, but there's elements there, right? He can get a ball forward for a start. Unfortunately, Dornelli can't do that yet. But back to Fergie, he's clearly saying about those two, I want to develop them. And by omission, there's clearly players he does not want to develop anymore. And I think that he hasn't, I don't think he's given up at all. I think we'd see something very different if he had. I want to just say one thing, which is just that I said before that Fergie's a guy who takes a team that's the sixth best in the league to third, or the third best team to second, but takes the 22nd best team to 24th. And I mentioned that in reference to the championship, or 18th best team to 22nd. This is the season where he's got to try and turn that, my view of him, around, in my opinion. Like, he's got to try and show that he can take a team that isn't a top half team and actually do better with them. And it's a very different challenge to when you're a playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt that Fergie has a massive challenge on his hands for the rest of the season. But I'm with Lods. I don't think I agree with Ash in terms of that he's enjoying the challenge. I reckon if he didn't think there was any chance of promotion, he would have left by now. I think as soon as he thinks that, I think he'll stick around for January because he's got close enough to January, you know, two games off it. That there's no point in him leaving before January because he might get some players that he really likes. But I think if he thought up until sort of the Burton game that the promotion was impossible at any point, or that he didn't have faith in this squad that they would go on a run and achieve the playoffs, I think he would have, you know, he would have binned it off by now. I don't think he'd still be here. He's done enough service to this football club where he doesn't need to stick around for us this season. I don't think anyone, you know, here's the thing, is that fans are unhappy at the minute, and I understand it. But the frustrations that we have as fans, you know, the staff and the players do share those frustrations as well. And Fergie, I know a lot of people are getting at Fergie now. He shares the exact same frustrations as us. He can't stop players from putting the ball into the back of the net. And again, we're being met with this narrative about Fergie that he, you know, he should be sacked. I've seen that again today. But the interview, for me, didn't look like a man who deserves to be sacked, or a man that is not aware of what kind of position he's in right now. He struck me as a man who was very aware that he is under pressure, very aware that he's promised, because he did say that this would be a promotion chasing season. He said that. He said at the end of last season that in the summer, he only wants players coming back at the beginning of this season that want to challenge for automatic promotion. And Dara said that as well. He knows that he's set these expectations high for himself, and I don't think he would still be here if he didn't think they had a chance of achieving them. And that's why I did take optimism from Fergie's interview. I do take optimism from the fact that Fergie's still here, and I stand by what I said the other day, that actually, while I know it's a bit bleak right now, Fergie's ability to not just give up on this squad completely and only pick out certain players that he thinks are an issue is I think a big optimism for me.
I listened to most of the interview, to be fair, and I think the way I see it is he is getting a bit pissed off with the players not doing the basics, which we've already alluded to. I don't think there's only so many times you can defend the players. I know he said he can't defend them for the first half, and how can you? You know, some of the basics we've already spoke about are basics that we should be doing. I don't think he's under pressure. I think we all know that. I don't think Dara will sack him. It's all down to if Fergie wants to go, he'll go on his own accord. I don't think he will. But I think what this season has shown us is that we got extremely lucky last season with our purchases and with our young players. We've tried doing the same again this season with even younger players, and it isn't working. Okay, it's fair to say that our recruitment has not been as good as we thought it would be or we expected it to be. And in hindsight, what's happened this season could be the making of us for the next couple of seasons. You know, we may need to do our recruitment a little bit different because, yeah, we got lucky 1 year and we did get lucky. Let's be honest. It was a great season last year. I thoroughly enjoyed it. This year is not as enjoyable. But, you know, as long as I've got a bit of breath in me, I will still support Peterborough, whether we're in League One, Two, Championship, fucking Conference, South or North, wherever we'll be. And we just need to, like, yeah, it is upsetting. It is disappointing. But fucking hell, nobody's dead yet. You know, nobody's dead. And I think we need to sort of like just remember football is only a game. Well, actually, it's fucking more than just a game, to be fair. It's like most of our lives. You know, so sort your fucking self out, Peterborough, and start winning some games.
Yeah, it's good to hear that we're, is it 19 games into the season and the standard is at least no one's died. Peterborough United take on, for the second season in a row, on the 29th of December, Barnsley at home. Barnsley are a pretty good team, although probably not doing as well as they might have hoped, given their squad on paper. Ash, tell me, what do you think of the game? Are you expecting any kind of bounce back?
No's the answer. Normally, Barnsley is a bit of a weird fixture because it always seems like when they come to us, they do well, and then when we go to them, we do well at their place. And I think that that's probably going to be a similar story this season. I really don't see how in sort of 2-3 days this group of players that we've got turn it around and put on a performance. I'd love to be wrong, but I just really, really can't see what changes we can make at the moment to our system, to our style, to the starting 11, to the bench, that are really going to have that big of an impact to come up against what is probably an experienced Barnsley team. They've got good players. They've got good players at League One level. And I think it's probably going to be another game where they'll dominate from the first whistle until they've probably scored 2-3 goals. And then we'll be fighting for our lives again, fighting to try and come back. Obviously the only forced change is Nevitt. I think that's relatively simple that Manny comes back in after having his rest today, provided that he's back fully fit, I guess. But yeah, I can't be positive anymore when it comes to the games. But I would love to be proved wrong.
Fine, if you can't be positive, I will try. I think one difference that could be is getting soft touch Randall out, and I've been a great defender of his, and getting back to basics, Chris Clark in, because when he came on, he did all the basics right. He passed it tidily. He put the ball into the right areas. He obviously set up Collins's chance. I think it's highly likely that he starts and he'll at least get at them from the first minute. And that's very important. I think Hayes is also someone who tries to get at players. And with Chris Clark on the pitch, you might have some more opportunities. As we say, having a bit of freshness in the defence with hopefully Manny coming back should give us a bit more sturdiness. And with any luck, we'll have Collins and Kyprianou starting together, who I think it's fair to say are the consensus two best midfielders at the pitch, even if they haven't both shown it at all times this season. So that's where my positivity comes from. With them in the spine, those players I just mentioned, let's hope everyone else who frankly has been lacklustre no matter who else is playing around them can actually step up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in no way optimistic about this fixture because Barnsley play the exact same shape as Mansfield, you know, the 3-5-2, which has seemed to be an absolute thorn in our side. I think Huddersfield played it as well. And we just can't, when we play against a team that play like a three back and two strikers and those sort of high wing backs, we just can't seem to get out. Like they just press the living daylights out of us. Barnsley are a team that are going to come and press really aggressively as well. I mean, their striker Keeler Dunn, he was an unbelievable player last season for Mansfield when they got promoted out of League Two. So I just don't seeing it. I see it being a very similar game in the script to the Mansfield game, which is obviously nerve-wracking because, well, we were absolutely abysmal in the Mansfield game. But I guess that the positivity with that does come from the fact that, you know, hopefully we will have learned something from the Mansfield game. There were definitely times where we did get at them slightly. Hopefully we will have improved. But yeah, we're going to have to be so on it for this game, because otherwise it's just going to be the exact same home game script again. And I will be leaving at halftime if we're losing this time. I can tell you that for nothing.
I'm quite glad that they play a similar way to Mansfield, because I think it'll be fresh on the players' minds. I'm hoping that Fergie's given them a strict telling off after today's performance. And I think it's a good opportunity for them to show that they are good enough. Whether it's the physical battle they need to prove that they're up for, or like you say, Charlie, the systematical. Fergie doesn't think that tactics were the issue today. Let's prove it then. Let's see what they can do. Maybe it is individuals that need to change. Maybe Chris Conclark does need to start. He does play really differently to how Randall plays. But yeah, I wouldn't say I'm optimistic. I would be quite satisfied if we played better than we did today. I don't think a loss is going to do anything at this point. I think our form's going to change in January regardless. And I don't think we're getting relegated even after today. So I think even if we lose, as long as we play better, I think I'll be happy.
I'm looking forward to the game like I always do, because I don't think it could be as bad as shit as it is today. But, you know, a couple of questions is how are we going to change it around? Who's going to play at centre-back? You know, we've tried so many different partnerships. It's not worked. Does Ollie Rose come in, have a little go? Do we drop? No, not an option. Or do we put De Havilland at the back? No, I was joking. In all seriousness, does Cipriano drop back? You know, because at the moment, De Havilland's been playing all right. Collins, you know, as a partnership, been playing all right. He's played like that for in a centre back for what's his country? Cyprus. So just letting him, you know, as an option again. But I don't know. What do we do? How do we change it? Who comes in? Who doesn't? Because I don't even know what our options are anymore, because we've tried so many different things. I don't know who goes where, who does what, but we just look weak. You know, even when we pick a team, thinking, yeah, looks all right. Then you look at the bench looks fucking shocking. The whole squad does not fill me with confidence at the moment in the way they're playing. And I don't know what we can do to change things up. So I'm going with a draw, mate. I can't see us winning. I hope we don't lose. I think that's about as positive as I can be about Sunday.
Yeah, like Charlie said, if Barnsley are playing a similar system and it's something that we've struggled against, surely at some point we just need to accept that maybe we need to change what we're doing. And I know that we obviously discussed plan A and whatnot, but at some point we need to put some more defenders on the pitch to try and keep the ball out right now, don't we? And would a five at the back not help solve that problem? We think that we've got two relatively good wing backs in, obviously, well, Adebisi was meant to be, but obviously he's injured again. I think that Sparks would be better in a 3/5. And then I also think that we'd be probably slightly better on the right hand side. I do think that there will be some discussions, and I think that that will probably be where we go in January if we are going to bring in some more defenders. But it would be nice if there could just be like a little bit of change. But like you say, maybe Conclark can bring that in himself and can play differently and can make it feel better on the pitch, because at the moment it doesn't feel like they're a team. I'd love to know what goes on in the back, because I reckon they're proper at each other's throats. And not enjoying each other's company at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, my view on what you said, Ash, there is that whether they're playing in a back three or a back two or a back one or a back nine, if our players are going to keep making stupid mistakes and air kicking the ball and not being able to pass it 5 yards and not being able to mark a man, it doesn't matter whether we're playing a five or a four or any system. So I don't think the system's the problem. Maybe he'll change it, and maybe that will be the sort of the fix to all of our problems. But I think it's just the errors that need to be cut out, and actually tactically we're okay.
Okay. Well, on that note, let's get to predictions. I think I can tell, I can sense the mood in the room. Maybe we'll get one win out of you. Out of you lot, let's see what everyone's saying. Ash, I'll come to you first.
I'm going to sort of follow on from today. I do think that we'll probably get a goal, but I think that we're going to concede again and concede plenty. I think that we'll concede probably three and then score one. So I am going to go with a 3-1 Barnsley win, which I don't really want to do, but that's sort of how I feel at the moment, unfortunately.
Being positive, and it's the best I can do, is a 3-3 draw. We ain't keeping a clean sheet. Hopefully, we might break them down a couple of times, get a few goals, but I'm going to go 3-3, and hopefully it's a good game, entertaining game to end the year on. And, 3-3.
I also think it will be a draw. I'm going to go for 2-2. I had it in my head for some reason that we always draw 2-2 with them, but I've just looked it up, and I've got that completely wrong. I think we've only drawn 2-2 of them like twice in the last 20 years. So there you go. We'll do it again. 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not optimistic. I just hope it's not over before half time. That's what I'd like to be able to go to a home game and enjoy more than sort of 25, 30 minutes of football. But I don't think we're going to win. I don't think it's going to be as high scoring. It is absolutely ridiculous. We cannot concede 3 goals a game. It just actually can't happen. Like, it genuinely can't. So I'm going to go lower scoring. I'll go for a 1-1 draw.
I predicted that we beat Mansfield 1-0 and we lost 3-0. So I'm predicting that we're going to lose 3-0. And hopefully we win 1-0. And that's all I've got to say on the matter. Right, I think we're there, unless any of you have anything else you wanted to add before we wrap up, gents.
I do, as we are coming to the end of the year, and shout out to anybody that's made it this far into Up the Poshcast. I wanted to ask everybody what their favourite game was in 2024, and so that you all have a little bit of time to think about that, I'm going to go first. And I'm going to say that actually, I don't think that it got any better after the 1st of January 2024. That absolute high after conceding after 19 seconds at Pride Park against Derby, just watching Ricky sort of bundle the ball into the back of the net and run away and it be the far end. And the good thing about that goal is that you have that delay before the away end realizes that the ball's in the back of the net. But that was, I actually don't think it's got any better than that game. So for me, that was my favorite game of the year.
I'll go next. I think mine was also in January, and it wasn't the Derby game, but it was an away game, and it was dramatic, and that was Charlton, which I feel like it's up there for some people. I absolutely loved that away game. That was unreal. We had I don't know, it was one of those weird ones where it was just an unreal atmosphere in the away end. I still, to this day, don't really know why, but it was just, we were proper up for it, singing We Are Going Up. I think Pompey got absolutely battered that day as well, which put us 1 point off top with the game in hand. God, those were the days. But yeah, that was the day where I really started to believe, and I really thought we were going to go up and win the league. And it was just a fantastic away day. It was my brother's birthday as well. Yeah, it was a great day all round.
For me, I think my favourite game of the season was Blackpool. Blackpool away in the semi-final, or the air, whatever they want to call it, of the... what do you fucking call it? British
BFM.
Bristol Street Motors. Proper enjoyed the game. It was a midweek game. We went all the way up there. We won. And I just think the atmosphere was superb. The enjoyment after the game with the interaction of the fans and the players, I thought was really, really good. And the fact he got us to Wembley. So, I'm going to go Blackpool away. That was this year, wasn't it? Blackpool away is my favourite game of the year.
I feel like you guys have all taken all the good ones. I did really like the Derby game on New Year's Day, but I'll go for a bit of a stranger one. The Newport FA Cup game this season. For some reason, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the controversy around the goal that we scored that didn't count, the fight back, the players really looked like they hadn't given up, which is something that they have done a lot this season after we've conceded first. I mean, if we can play like that every week, then I wouldn't have an issue with this team at all.
Right, I'll go last. No one's mentioned the actual final of the Bristol Street Motors Trophy. It wasn't my favourite game, no, but you've all taken all the best ones. And look, first trophy in 10 years. To be fair, it was great to see Harrison Burrows as captain, boyhood player, get two goals in the final, be the clear man of the match, lift the trophy. It was still in its own way a pretty special moment. And you know what? To be fair, the last 10 minutes of the game were actually pretty entertaining, even if before that it was complete dross. All right. Thank you all. I like that, Ash. That was quite entertaining, mate. And good way to round off the episode. To the listeners, thank you for sticking with us. Let's hope we get something against Barnsley, and we'll see you in the next one. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
I've made a massive assumption that Barnsley isn't going to be an absolute all-timer. But, yeah. You know, I just don't think it's going to be, is it really?